David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." So there's so many things going on this time of year. We have, on Friday was our longest day, our summer solstice, lots of shopping going on, good economy for a lot of the shops as well. We're shopping for gifts, a lot of family traditions as well. And it's quite interesting to hear what different families do. And of course, they're shopping for gifts as well. So has anybody opened their gifts yet? Yes, good, good. Do you all get good things? I hope you all say yes. And I've just been thinking, what makes a good present, actually? Is it the amount of money you pay? Is it the little label that shows that you bought it at the right shops? Or is it something that's completely practical? Or is it something that that person has always asked for and finally they get it? Is it something that will last a very long time? Or is it something that someone will remember for a very long time? Or does it have a time limit, for example, gift vouchers? And I've experienced it a few times. You get a voucher and then you put it in the drawer, bound to remember that you know exactly where it is. And then a year later, you suddenly go into hysteria mode that you've actually lost it. And you find it and it's past the expiry date. And I think most people are really open to that. And they'll actually say, well, you know, they'll still give it to you. That's all good. And I'm sure that when you think of Christmas gifts, you have lots of memories of special gifts that you received. And for me, it's when I was a child, I got my first bicycle at Christmas. And this was really quite life-changing because no more relying on parents to take me around, no more walking, no more going by bus. And my mum, who's almost 93, grew up in a very poor Italian family in Italy. And they were super grateful when they got an orange for Christmas. And then I remember my children's faces when they were teenagers and they both got an iPad. So very different through generations. And this was really life-changing for them. But I also remember our children when they were smaller and you get this big box and put the gift inside. They look at the gift, play with it for 5 minutes, and then the box becomes a lot more exciting. And they play of hours in that. Well, I could have just got one at Pack and Save, and that would have been more appreciated. So of all Christmas gifts, there are only a few that are really life-changing. And one thing that I do think of is the mobile phone that is quite revolutionary. And this is readily available and has changed people's lives. It has changed how people interact with the world. It has changed how we interact with each other. And quite interesting, sometimes you go to a restaurant, there are five people sitting and they're all texting each other probably, and that's okay. So I'm not here to judge or evaluate whether mobile phones are good or not. But anyway, I remember when I worked in many rural villages in South Africa, and rural South African villages are very different to rural New Zealand villages. So the villages I worked in, there was no running water, there was no electricity. There were really noisy generators that produced a little bit of power. And we'd be running our workshops, and inevitably a mobile phone would ring. And I think, like, wow, this is actually amazing. So this device has actually brought these people in the rural communities into the world, and they can actually interact, and they can connect with the world. So the mobile phone is really a powerful computer. It's a GPS, it's a camera, music player, and so much more. And so I can actually take a photo right now and then press a few buttons and then send it around the world to family and friends. It's just like quite astounding. And then, of course, the directions. And as my wife, Zandra, can testify, I have no sense of direction. I would just carry on driving straight. And then Zandra said, no, you've got to turn left. Why would you want to turn left? But anyway, so when my personal navigator is not there, then I have my GPS. I just punch it in. It just talks to me. It might take me all a very long way, but we actually get there. So this has really changed my life as such. But gadgets can change things, but it's only have a limited way in which to change us. They cannot change us completely, and they cannot change us from the inside out. The Christmas gift, however, can change us. So there's no need to worry about batteries. There's no need to worry about plugging it in. There's no need to recharge. You don't have to run around looking for a power plug. It has the ability to change us inside out. It has the ability to change us through and through. There's no expiry date. And God gives us the best gift that we could ever receive, the most beautiful and the most holy gift, a gift that is life-transforming and revolutionary. So December 25, we actually celebrate this amazing gift that God gave us. So as the shepherds rejoiced that night when they saw God's Christmas gift, so we too should actually be driven to praise. So the gift of God in Jesus is a gift we celebrate this Christmas time, because we receive the gift of unconditional love. Every single one of us receives it, whether regardless of our condition, our affliction, our dispositions. Every single one of us is God, belongs to God and made worthy. So now we have our Jesus gift. Now, what does this actually mean? We could spend days unpacking what this means, but I'm sure you all want to go home soon. So Jesus is not just a gift. Jesus is actually a package of gifts. And the package has the best, the greatest, and the holiest of gifts within it. These gifts are life-changing and revolutionary. So let's now look at one of these gifts within the package. So I'd actually like a younger person to come and open the gift that we have here. Do come forward. Oh, I forget people put their hands up as well. I just expect the stampede. Thank you. I don't have any. We've already got somebody. Thank you. Thank you. Right, let's open it for us. What does it say?
God's presence.
Okay, we have God's presence. And it wasn't a typo. So God's presence is one of the gifts. Okay, you can actually distribute those. How does that sound? You can't run out the door, no. Thank you. So this is the gift of God's presence. Let's start by looking at the Old Testament. So when Israel came out of Egypt, God's presence was revealed in the form of a cloud during the day and fire at night. And later when Moses was talking with God, we read that God replied to Moses by saying, "My presence will go with you forever." Later, we see God showing his presence in a cloud that descended on the tabernacle. God's presence was also at the dedication of Solomon's temple. But in the Old Testament, God's presence didn't seem to be that constant. However, 2,000 plus years ago, everything changed. The Gospel of John uniquely tells us the story of Christmas in two lines. I read from John 1:14. "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So God came to be with us, and Jesus' name is also Emmanuel, which means God is with us. His presence to us is his presence. Christmas is the eternal guarantee that God is always with us in this challenging world, particularly now. The incarnation of God in Jesus assures us of eternal, unbroken intimacy with our Almighty God. Matthew 28, the resurrected Jesus said, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of time." And because of the birth of Jesus and this indwelling of the Holy Spirit, God Almighty is with us forever and ever. In Hebrews 13 reminds us, God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So Jesus is ever present. Now when we talk of God's presence, we're not talking about the attribute of omnipresence. God is, of course, present in the material world and the spiritual world. We're actually talking about God's presence in a relational sense. God's gift of presence is that we may have a relational relationship with Jesus. Not only is God present, but we can have a relationship with him. This is what the Christmas story is about. God wants to be with us. It is this gift that changes us in how we live in the world. When we are happy, God is present. When we are when there's uncertainty and doubting, God is present. When we are feeling down and low, God is present. When we are too wrapped up in our own concerns, God is present. God is always present in the ordinary moments of our lives to remind us who we are and to whom we belong. Christ was born into the world of darkness, separation, and uncertainty so that we might intimately know this awesome and almighty God. We thank God for changing our and showing up and giving us the gift that we didn't even know we needed. God has promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us. We can be assured of his presence at all times. But how do we experience God's presence? How can we unwrap this gift? Firstly, we can read scripture. Secondly, we can also select certain verses from scripture. And Psalm 23 is a very good one to start off with. And just read it over and over again. Have a period of silence and prayer and let God speak to us. This is very closely linked to Lectio Divina or divine reading, which has four steps: reading, meditation, praying, and contemplation. We can listen to worship music. And here, fortunately, we're all made differently in God's amazing image. And we like different types of music. Sometimes you hear a hymn or a modern song and you just connect with it straight away and you feel God's presence. And you have to find what worship music really connects you to God. We can take a walk in nature and become more aware of God. And here I want to tap into the Japanese concept of Shinrin Yoku or forest bathing. It's quite a modern concept that's been used, and this really entails spending time in the forest or with nature, and it has really amazing benefits to us as humans in terms of de-stressing and connecting with nature. And we can also experience God's presence there. So we also turn to Psalm 23, where David explains God's restorative prescription. "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." So again, restoring our souls, connecting with God's presence. We can also pray for God's presence. We can relax, breathe deeply, and center our minds on God. When I think of the presence of God, I often think of Brother Lawrence. who was in the Carmelite Monastery a few hundred years ago in Paris. And he was assigned to work in the kitchen and then later to mend sandals. And he involved God in every single detail that he did in his life. And just two lessons from there. The first one is intentionality, which is everything. Our world is very busy from when we get up to when we go to sleep. And we are pulled in all different directions. This is where intentionality comes in. Brother Lawrence says we must deliberately practice the presence of God. Intentionality makes us have conversations with God. We must fix our mind upon his holy presence. And second lesson from Brother Lawrence is prioritize. Thank you. I would love to have one now, but here we go. So prioritizing and pursuing his presence. Before we can fix our thoughts on God, we need to prioritize that presence. Am I conscious of his presence at all times? Or is it at only certain times, my prayer times? Or are we only aware of God's presence when I need a breakthrough to some prayers? When we prioritize God in our lives, we make room to pursue him. God is always present, but we need to tap into that presence. When we do not prioritize him, life's cares and burdens will do a perfect job of edging God out of our hearts and minds, slowly but surely. And so it's just been quite fascinating when I do tap into God's presence. It doesn't have to actually be in a Christian context. It can actually be in the secular world. I remember attending many meetings and inviting God into that meeting and being aware of God's presence. And sometimes God's put some incredible insight into difficult meetings. And I've said some really amazing things. And it's like, wow, I didn't say that, did I? And it was actually God being there and actually assisting me. And now as a city missioner, I need to constantly live in God's presence. I want to be in God's presence. And I want to tap into God's presence. And in conclusion, when the Christmas wrappings have been tossed in the trash can, when the Christmas meals have been eaten and forgotten, when the Christmas lights have been switched off, when the Christmas decorations have been packed away for another year, when the Christmas tree is outside waiting for disposal, Jesus is still the best present and always present. Amen. So let's stand for the next song, Mary's Boy Child.